Proverbs chapter 23 in your Bibles this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I preached this sermon this morning for all the obvious reasons any preacher worth his salt would preach it. It's God's word. In our culture, it is easy to see why people are tempted to drink. Peer pressure from a socially accepted act is immense. A Gallup poll, 64% of Americans drink at some level. 86% of high school students have tasted alcohol. 80% of college students drink. 40% of that crowd drink heavily and say, "I drink to get drunk." 60% of older people drink. All of this is pushed by advertising. The alcoholic beverage industry is one of the largest advertisers on television, and they are very, very good at what they do. They are very creative. They make it look attractive. They picture a lifestyle that is like a magnet in its ability to draw. It's a lie, but it is appealing. In their commercials, everyone has fun. It is great. There's no guilt, no hang-ups, no hangovers, no bad scenes, no bad trips. Several years ago, Budweiser built an advertising scheme around three words: why, ask, why. Those commercials seem to implicate there are things you will never understand, so why not drink instead? Well, I'm asking this morning. I have four whys for you to consider. First of all, why change your contentment in life? Look at verse 29 once again. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? At birth, God gave you a strong body and a good mind. He gave you the opportunity for a good life, to feel good and have good health, to be in control of what you do. God has given you an opportunity in salvation to live an abundant life. So why go out and deliberately take into your body a drug that is destined to change all of that? Alcohol is the number one drug problem in America. It costs our nation every year hundreds of billions of dollars in economic loss. 105,000 people die every year attributable to the drinking of alcohol. 65% of Americans are affected by drinking in some form. Drinkers miss 2.5 times as much work as non-drinkers. 80% of people in prison were influenced by alcohol when they committed their crime. $42 billion a year is spent on alcohol that could be spent on housing or clothing or food or vacations or new shoes for the kids. One half of all the people who drown were drinking. One half of all the pedestrians who were killed, alcohol was a factor. When you drink, you take into your body a drug that does all of these things. It removes inhibitions. You lose self-control. It weakens your willpower. It gives a false feeling of confidence. It impairs your judgment. It dulls your attention span. It alters your personality. And none of those things, ladies and gentlemen, is good. So God steps in and asks about the quality of life. He says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babblings? God knows the problem. God knows if you drink, you change your contentment possibilities. So why do we ignore God? Why change your contentment? I'm just asking. Second of all, why lower your morals? Look at verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Hans Eblatt, former Secretary of Substance Abuse in the World Health Organization, that's not a Christian organization, ladies and gentlemen. He made this statement: drinking tends to sexual irresponsible behavior. It lowers inhibitions. It weakens willpower. You do things when you're drinking that you would not do when you are stone cold sober. TV commercials have that sexual overtone in mind. They make it pretty. They make it lovely. There is no sexually transmitted diseases, no pregnancy, no guilt. They paint such a pretty picture, but is it? Lot took his family down to Sodom and got his family involved in drinking and immorality. God said to Lot, I'm going to destroy this place. And they didn't want to leave, Lot and his family. The end result of that, Lot commits incest with his two daughters who got their father drunk. Do you see anything pretty about that? 90% of child abuse is drinking related. 77% of sexual violence is attributable to drinking. There's nothing attractive about any of it. God asks, why lower your morals? Third, why hurt your health? Who hath wounds without cause? A lot of the diseases that I might get, I can't do much about it. If someone runs a traffic light and I'm hurt, I can't do much about that. But God asks, who hath wounds without cause? When you drink, you build up a tolerance. You need more and stronger types to get yourself drunk. All the while, it is absolutely destroying your body. It hurts your liver. It hurts your digestive system. It hurts your nervous system. That's why there's the tremors and the shaking that's associated with that. It hurts your heart. You're giving yourself ace high to get cancer of the mouth and the esophagus. What are the cute little things alcohol does for you? Now, let me give you a few. Slurred speech, incoordination, sleeping it off, poor grades, poor work habits, hangovers, roller coaster emotions, tantrums, irritability, silliness, isolation from family life, isolation from old friends, a stepping stone to other drugs. What's pretty about that? What's cute about that? It's not funny to the one dying of cancer. It's not funny to the one dying of congestive heart failure. Years back, they may have heard something like this and nudged their friends and laughed. But not now. At the last, it's not funny. Fourth, why addict yourself? Look at verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Well, when I do awake, I will seek it yet again. I was sick, I was beaten, I couldn't wake up, but when I do, I'll do it all again. 15 million people in America cannot live without alcohol. It controls their life, their marriage, and their family, and all the attendant horrors associated with that. Half of all alcoholics had at least one parent who was an alcoholic. So I'm asking, why addict yourself? Fifth, why irritate God? Go back a couple of pages in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You understand, the wisest man, Solomon himself, wrote this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Go with me to Daniel chapter 5. You know exactly, those of you familiar with your Bibles, what is here. Daniel chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass and iron, of wood and of stone. Sometimes when people drink and get drunk, they get all inspired and they say stupid, stupid things. That's Belshazzar. Let's go get the sacred vessels that was taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, God's house, and we will drink wine in those, and we will praise the gods of gold and silver and iron and the other things mentioned. You get all inspired. Verse 5. In the same hour came fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So what happens? Verse 25. Daniel 5:25. Here's what was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You think you are so cute, Belshazzar? God has just finished your kingdom. It's taken. It's gone. And then, verse 27, this is for you personally, Belshazzar, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. When mighty Babylon fell, one person died. And that was Belshazzar. Last of all, why take a chance on killing yourself or someone else? You understand, ladies and gentlemen, 26,000 people are killed by drunk drivers every year, and that has been going on for decades. That could be avoided if people didn't drink. 130,000 people are injured every year by drunk drivers. 50% of you will be involved in an accident sometime in your life that alcohol was an issue. One half of all murders were committed under the influence of alcohol. One third of all teenagers, listen to this, one third of all teenagers this month will ride in a car driven by a kid who is legally drunk. You better let that sink in. Why take a chance? Why take a chance in leading others to drink? You might say, hey, Brother Gray, I handle my liquor all right. What about your kids? What about your grandkids? What you dismiss in moderation, they will dismiss in excess. Why take a chance? It's not worth it. Here's the good news. I got a call a couple of days ago. I get this call every year from an individual that used to be a member of this church. His name is E.B. Fisher. His wife, Sherry, started coming to church. She got saved. E.B. gets saved. He was an alcoholic at the time. That's his own admission. When he got saved, he quit the alcohol. It's been, he told me this last week, he told me, Brother Gray, I've been sober for 35 years. He just recently helped lead his two grandsons to Christ. That would never have happened had he continued to drink. You can be different. You can be better. If you ask the questions, all the answers are wrong. You're here this morning and maybe you've made a decision you're going to quit. Good. You need a Savior. You need a church. We can help. Maybe someone in your family uses alcohol. They need your prayers and they need your help. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough just to tell us what to do and what not to do. That's what your word is all about. And one of the things that you are so emphatic about, don't drink. Oh, dear Father, I pray that each one of us, because we have people in our family who use alcohol, that we would get on our faces before you and say, oh, God, help me to be a good testimony to them of not to drink. Help me to pray for them that you would hedge them about, that you would cause them not to hurt anyone, not to hurt themselves or someone else. Oh, God, help us. Father, we just ask that you might speak to our hearts, that we would quit the alcohol. There's not one good thing we can say about it. And that we would pray for family members that need our help. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart, you need to pray for someone in your family. We give you this opportunity to come forward. Pray for them. Pray for individuals that you might know.